Welcome to Letters to Women, a podcast that explores the feminine genius. How do we find heroes and heroines in today's culture? In today's episode, we'll be talking about saints, heroes, heroines, and other amazing women in the history of the church, in the history of comic books, and women who are living in the world today. If you've ever wondered how to find a hero in today's culture, this podcast is for you. We're welcoming to the podcast today Maria Marrero Johnson, who is the author of a couple of really great books on the saints. So the first one was published back in 2015, and it's My Badass Book of Saints, Courageous Women Who Showed Me How to Live. And the book that we're going to be chatting the most about today was just recently published at the beginning of September, and it's called Supergirls and Halos, My Companions on the Quest for Truth, Justice, and Heroic Virtue. So welcome to the podcast, Maria. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks. I'm delighted to be here.
We're going to just jump right into the questions and learning about these books and how the saints can really encourage us to live heroic lives. Can you tell us about your story as a Catholic woman and author, as well as the books that you've written?
Sure. So I am a cradle Catholic. I was born in Cuba to a practicing Catholic family. And I was almost immediately confirmed as well, because it was during the early days of the Cuban, the communist revolution in Cuba. Mm-hmm. And the priests were expelled. So it was like, oh, there's a priest here. You get to have all the sacraments that you can right now. Boom. And
everything at once.
So I tell that story because it has a big impact on why I'm writing about the saints. Mm-hmm. As a result of an infant confirmation, I was not confirmed, obviously, later with my peers when I was in Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And I still had to go to the catechism classes. And in fact, my parents very wisely said, listen, you need to go because you've been confirmed, but you need to know more about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was fair. But I didn't get to practice walking up and down or, you know, any of those things that the students were doing.
Yeah.
But I did have all the downtime to read about the saints.
Oh, that's so neat.
And so I was drawn to odd saint names, not necessarily odd saints, although there were plenty of those too. But that's how Christina the Astonishing ended up in my first book. But I fell in love with a particular name when I was in the fifth grade, Saint Kunigunde, mm-hmm. Queen Kunigunde, who was married to Saint Henry, who was the Holy Roman Emperor in the early, in the 1100s.
Yeah.
So I fell in love with a name. And then I read about her, and I thought her story was pretty cool. She was accused of having some illicit relationships, mm-hmm. that compromised the emperors and the empire. And she was absolved because they made her walk across hot irons.
Oh my
And
gosh.
She did so unscathed. And so, you know, that story as a fifth grader stuck with me for decades. And years later, when I was married and my husband was in the military and he was stationed overseas, and we went to live in Bamberg, Germany, mm-hmm. at the time, West Germany. And, we got there, and immediately he had to go out into the field for, 6 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
So I would wander around the town, making myself, familiar with where I was going to spend the next few years of my life. And I walk into the cathedral because, that's what we do as Catholics. We go and we tour cathedrals.
It's true.
And I'm wandering around, and what do I encounter but the tomb of Kunigunde?
Oh, my gosh. That's
so
crazy.
So she came rushing back to me because, you know, in those days, it's really cool. You know, the history of so much of church art is about visual catechesis. Mm-hmm. And so her story is told in art, in bas-relief panels around her tomb.
That's beautiful.
So there were no words. I didn't speak German, but I could understand the pictures. And I was like,
there she
is. Wow, this is Kunigunde. So I put her, I put her in the book, of course, because she had to be.
That's so beautiful.
So that began my love of the saints, and it seems like they keep, they keep finding me, mm-hmm. at different junctures in my life. So it kind of became a natural for me to want to write about them.
That's so neat. I love how saints follow you. This year has been, Saint Faustina has been following me around like crazy, where she's popped up on you know, in holy cards that are sitting in my pew during adoration, or the Divine Mercy chaplet, like, is recommended to me by multiple people out of the blue. So it's so neat when, like, saints find you and then they just follow you until you are like, all right, okay, I get it. You want me to get to know you better. Thanks for not being subtle.
She was in my early reading this morning. Santa was in my morning offering.
That's so, there she is. She pops up again. Yep. And her feast day's coming up too on the 5th of October. So yeah, I have a feeling she's just going to be coming at me full force, and I better take the hints. That's so neat. So this new book that you have, The Supergirls and Halos, where did the inspiration for a book that talks about both the saints and superheroes come from?
Well, that was actually the seed of this book was in my undergraduate days as an English major. Mm. 30-something years ago, I took a women in literature class, and we were studying heroines, mm-hmm. and so, but they were old heroines, heroines that, not that they weren't relevant to me, because as an English major, it doesn't matter when it was written, it was probably relevant, mm-hmm. because I'm reading, but that there was no one modern, you know, that there was no contemporary literature that was included, and I thought that I was kind of a rebel, you know, whatever. I was 20 and foolish. So I said, oh, yeah. So I did my term paper on superheroes.
I love it.
And of course, Wonder Woman featured in it.
Yes.
But I was a different woman 35 years ago. Mm-hmm. And today, when I wrote a very different book, certainly not a term paper, mm-hmm. but with my own growing faith and my own interest in the lives of saints, I took the seeds of that term paper so many years ago, and I thought, well, you know, it's true that these fictional characters that we looked up to in popular culture, they do have good qualities. They mm-hmm. have good human qualities. Mm-hmm. And Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, you might know her as Edith Stein,
yes.
said that that whenever we're seeking the good, we're really seeking God. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I attribute that particular quote to her, but it's not very original either. Lots of people, you know, say that over the course of time. And so I thought, you know, what would happen if we took these great human virtues and somehow aligned them with the four, you know, the four hinge virtues, mm-hmm. which are the cardinal virtues, prudence and justice and temperance and fortitude, mm-hmm. and add a little bit of grace to the equation, and what you get really are what the saints have done, which is you know, led lives of holiness, not just goodness but of holiness. And we can aspire to that too, because the saints were flesh and blood like you and me.
Yep, that's so true. I think too often, at least I fall into this, is when, you know, either the Pope or in a homily, and it's talked about like the universal call to sainthood, and it's so easy for me to fall into that thinking like, oh, a saint is boring. Like, I don't want to lead a life of holiness right now because, you know, when am I going to have fun? And then realizing that, like, oh my gosh.
Thanks, St. Augustine.
Exactly right. Make me holy, but not yet. Yes. But then when you encounter saints like, oh my gosh, you have so many great ones in here, like St. Catherine Drexel, you already mentioned St. Edith Stein, St. Mary Magdalene, and all these beautiful women especially, who don't lead boring lives. They lead lives full of adventure and full of mistakes, but they're redeemed, and it's so beautiful. And just to encounter saints that have exciting stories and that aren't like, oh, they just, you know, oh, saints just sit in a convent and pray. And there are so many beautiful saints who do that, but there's also saints who get out and they live a beautiful life outside, and they're so accessible. And I think that this book, for sure, The Supergirls and Halos, makes them even more so accessible, because you're looking at through them the lens of like, oh my gosh, that's a heroine. Like, that's someone that I can look up to. That's someone who lives heroic virtue, and it's so beautiful.
Oh, thanks. You know, you were talking about saints that live, I guess, cloistered lives in mm-hmm. prayer. And I do have those two contrasts, because Saint Clare of Assisi is in the book, and she did live pretty cloistered. And in fact, the story that I share in the book is about the way that she fought off a Saracen invasion.
Yes.
Which was, you know, she was at the end of her life and she was ill, and her sisters came to her and said, help. Mm-hmm. And she went immediately to the greatest. She went to the Blessed Sacrament and told Jesus, you know, I trust you here. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you see pictures of her, you know, in the icons and the little holy cards or whatever that you might see. Mm-hmm. She's holding maybe like a monstrance sometimes, or something that might look like a small tabernacle. Mm-hmm. And the story is that she held it up against the convent wall, the monastery wall, and said, Jesus, you know, do your thing. And the Saracens withdrew.
That's so beautiful. So
that was kind of a quiet thing. But you said that you liked Katniss.
Yes. In the book, right? I love Katniss.
So I pair her with St. Mary of the Cross, St. Mary MacKillop, mm-hmm. who's an Australian saint. And you talk about saints who follow you around. I'd heard about her some time ago. Mm-hmm. And I have a dear friend who's Australian. And I thought, you know, let me just kind of poke around and see if I can do something for her to just, you know, just a little nod to our friendship.
Yeah.
And my husband and I were on vacation in Scotland. And don't you know, we get lost and we find a church. And there's St. Margaret's Church. It seems like there's a lot of St. Margaret's in England.
Yes.
Anyway, so we find this shrine. We were up in Inverness in Scotland. And I go into the church, and goodness, there's a shrine for St. Mary MacKillop in this church.
That's so beautiful.
I'm like, how random is this? And so, you know, she really contrasts St. Clair in that she didn't live in a convent, mm-hmm. and in fact, her refusal to live in a convent was taken by her bishop as insubordination and disobedience.
Yeah,
and she was excommunicated because of it.
That's crazy.
And her vision was that she needed to live among the people that she was working with, that she wanted to live in the community. So her sisters live in the communities and not in convents, and it cost her an excommunication.
That's crazy.
And it was eventually rescinded, and fairly quickly too. The bishop took it back within months, but she was already on a trip to see the Pope.
Wow.
Met with the Pope. The Pope said, "Oh, you're the excommunicated one." I mean, can you imagine how mortified?
Oh my gosh, to have that be your identifier as a Catholic woman. Like, oh, my reputation precedes me. Yep, that's me.
Exactly. So these are some, I think that they're really interesting saints.
Yeah. Yes. And like, I kind of, when we were chatting before this, like saints that sometimes like you don't even encounter like within the typical like book of saints that you pick up. And so I loved how this book just not only pulls some really great saints, but also saints that may not be very well known, and they have beautiful, amazing stories. So I love that like by reading your book, we can get a chance to encounter them. So, but just really great. You have, speaking of like really great saints, so I won't give away all of the saints that Maria talks about in her book. So you should go buy it and you should read it because it's amazing. But you've already mentioned quite a few of them, but, and the heroes that you contrast them with include like Wonder Woman, which you talked about in that paper that started this all, Storm, the Black Widow, and all of these women. How did you go about picking saints to include both in the Supergirls and Halos, but also in your previous book, My Badass Book of Saints? Do they just follow you around and ask you to be in the book, or how does that process look?
I really think that's the honest truth. In the first, in the badass book, that was a little easier to do because I wasn't particularly looking for Catholic women.
Mm.
And let me explain that before I go on so that, you know, your audience understands, our listeners understand.
Yeah.
This book, or these books, are introductions. They're just little hors d'oeuvres, mm-hmm. to the beauty of the lives of saints. So, you know, it's not this isn't a great compendium of deep information. It's an introduction for the women who are not necessarily in the pew but are seeking, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we're living in a time where we have a lot of people who are seeking the truth. They're seeking the good.
Yep.
And so what my hope is that these books speak to the people in the culture, mm-hmm. and then attract them to the truth of our faith,
yep.
you know, to the ultimate truth, you know, like Mary's leading us to Jesus. And so in that first book, obviously I picked, I think it was a dozen saints. Mm-hmm. But I looked at women who were extraordinarily heroic in the culture. Mm. So, you know, I talk about in that first book, for example, Nancy Wake, who was in the French Resistance, mm-hmm. in the war. Mm-hmm. You know, she was pretty fascinating, not Catholic. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I talk about Audrey Hepburn,
yeah.
who I thought was, you know, just a paragon of beauty. Mm-hmm. And I had paired her with St. Rose of Lima, who was also a paragon of beauty.
Yes.
In a different way. And so I chose women that I think that in our culture people were either familiar with, mm-hmm. or would be fascinated by.
Yes.
And some of them were Catholic. I did choose Flannery O'Connor,
yep.
who's, you know, one of my literary heroes.
Yes.
So that's how I came about that way. For the heroines, to be honest with you, I picked my it's my collection. An alternate title would be Maria's Favorite Heroines in Literature and the Movies.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
And so I think I'm just a little bit older than you. Mm-hmm. But I chose people who I grew up with admiring, but that have a contemporary connection.
Yep.
Okay, so even though I talk about Lieutenant Uhura, who mm-hmm. was my hero in the 60s and early 70s, because of the Star Trek reboot, I think that young women today also know who she is. So
yes.
I can speak to women of my generation, but I can speak to women of your generation too.
Exactly.
So there's a, and your sisters especially,
yes.
who are encountering Lieutenant Uhura for the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Wonder Woman is very old. You know, those early superheroes, we're coming up on, they've been around for 100 years.
Yeah, yep.
But we've got, you know, this new Wonder Woman movie that came out, and mm-hmm. in a couple of months we're going to see the Justice League come out.
Yep.
And so they're contemporary too. So each one of the characters in here is very contemporary. Mm-hmm. Even the X-Files. I had a couple of people say, well, the X-Files was from my time, you know, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I go, yeah. But Fox brought back a season last year,
yep.
and there's a new season coming out in January.
Yep.
So these are women who are still today in the culture.
Yep, exactly. Like you can see, yeah, you turn on your TV or, yeah, even, yeah, turn on Netflix and be able to find them and then see them and then encounter them there and then find out that, like, yeah, but the virtues that they display are lived out, you know, radically in the lives of the saints too. And as you can kind of see through these chapters that you combine. So that's so neat. When
I liked it.
Yes. Out of all the saints, all the saints and heroines that you, this is gonna be hard because it's like picking your favorite out of the favorites. Who of
Impossible.
I know. I'm sorry. This is such an awful question. Every time that I ask people this, like, oh, what's your favorite, you know, book or what's your favorite this? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I would hate when people ask me that one. But which story? Okay, we'll do it this way. Which story of the women that you examine in these books as heroines resonates in your life the most?
Okay. Well, so I'll answer all the questions.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, I declare in the book that my favorite heroine is Lieutenant Uhura.
Yep.
From Star Trek. And it is still true. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still mm-hmm. true. I just saw the new Star Trek last night, Discovery.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, I need to write a Supergirls part two just to be able to include those two, the captain and the first. You know, her number one. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Lieutenant Uhura, I say, is my favorite. But the chapter that resonated the most with me, or at least is the most personal chapter, is the one about Scully mm-hmm. and Edith Stein. Mm-hmm. And that's because I, like so many young people, drifted away from the faith in my 20s. Mm-hmm. And I didn't quite drift away from God entirely. I never fell into agnosticism or atheism, but mm-hmm. I did walk away from the beauty of the Catholic faith. And as I was watching the X-Files during their original run in the 90s, I was already experiencing quite deeply my reconversion. Mm-hmm. And so to encounter Scully on the show, who was ultimately questioning, you know, the existence of God,
yeah.
and was struggling with her own faith. And, you know, the tagline for the show is the truth is out there.
Yep.
And so I was looking for the truth, too. So while I cannot credit Scully with my reconversion, she did play a big part in helping me to see some of the things that she was also struggling with. Mm-hmm. And I can say that right about the time that the character went to confession, I did too.
Hey.
So there were some parallels there in my life. How about that?
That's so great. It's a beautiful, like, come back to the church moment, too. I had to have that be reflected in the X-Files as well.
Isn't that crazy?
That's so neat.
It's not crazy because it's in the culture. Remember, the seeds of the gospel, as Bishop Robert Barron tells us, are everywhere. Mm-hmm. God created this world. So he's in it everywhere. If we would look and see the question, you know, the challenges to see.
Yep, that's so true. And I love and in that chapter, like, you talk about St. Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross, and her journey from atheism in her 20s, and being able to rediscover the beauty of the church and conversion that ultimately led to her becoming a sister, which is beautiful to see how that works out in their lives as well. So like you said, like, it's not just, you know, it doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's not crazy, because there's so many of us who've encountered Christ through that, and it's a human story.
Yeah, she's a formidable woman. She really is something else.
I recently picked up a book that I'm reading on her, and it's just, oh man, there's just such a depth of wisdom. Like, every time that I'm like, oh, I know about you, and it's like, oh, never mind, like, here's another facet of her life where it's just, oh man, she's incredible and really a wealth of knowledge. Beautifully.
Absolutely.
When you did the research and writing for this one of your newest books, what lessons did you have any lessons that you learned in the research? And what do you hope that readers, especially women, learn from your book?
Well, I hope that they take this book really as an hors d'oeuvre, and I was using that as a metaphor earlier, but it really is just a launching point to read more about the saints. We're certainly going to have plenty of opportunities to see these characters continue on the big screen.
Yeah.
But to go and pick up a book about one of these saints, if it piqued your interest, there's certainly lots of them. In fact, I wrote the book, and so the book itself, the manuscript, was completed over a year ago, or just about coming up on a year. Mm-hmm. And I just recently picked up, for example, Maria Scaparlanda's book on Edith Stein that was reprinted now, and so I'm reading really in depth about Edith Stein in that book. So it should be an encouragement to women that, you know, we don't finish, you know, you don't read this book and you're an expert on anything. It's just
it's just neither
the heroines nor the saints, but that it could be an encouragement for you to pick something up. Pat Gohn, who wrote the introduction or the foreword to my Badass Book of Saints, said it's not the lives of saints, but it's a good place to start. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to use this for their doctoral dissertation, but it'll lead you maybe to something greater, and that's what my hope is.
That's
that you'll be a lifelong lover of studying our faith.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the culture today, do you have any tips and hints for women who are trying to discern, like, when looking at who the culture offers us as heroes and heroines, how to discern, how to consider someone a hero? How do we consider someone a heroine? What traits do we look at of their lives when we're trying to figure out who do we look up to in leading a virtuous life?
Well, specifically what you just said about the virtues.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find people who are going to be good role models for us. And, you know, in another time, you know, we had our parents first modeling for us what these virtues are, and we had an extended family that, you know, we had grandparents and we had aunts and uncles and cousins and close family friends who were these models for us. And while I'm not suggesting that they are absent in our lives today, we're just living in such a cultural overload of media personalities stepping in to proclaim themselves, or to have, I don't know, the collective proclaim them as these heroes. And in many cases, they are exhibiting some human virtues. Unfortunately, because of the way that we like to present things in the media, we also see what their defects are.
Yep.
Or what their shortcomings are, again, in bigger than life ways. And so to start a conversation about what the virtues are and what the human virtues are and what the cardinal virtues are, again, I'm talking about what the church refers to as these hinges, because all the other virtues kind of hinge on these four, that we can really ask ourselves, well, where does this person fit in terms of these cardinal virtues? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can't forget the theological virtues either,
yeah.
which we're given, you know, in our baptism.
Yep.
You know, ultimately, all of these things are working towards our you know, charity and hope mm-hmm. and faith. Mm-hmm. So looking at people in light of those virtues and what they are demonstrating to us, I think, is a much healthier way to pursue a life of holiness, certainly.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And just like a good lens to look through, because you're right, if we're bombarded by the culture and the media saying, look, here's a hero, look, here's a heroine, you should look up to this person, but to be able to discern that and find the truth and the virtue in that person's life is definitely, gosh, it gets harder every day, just because of the social media influence or how much that just perpetuates right. in our culture.
Sure, but if you think about having a conversation about what's in the culture, and that's really what this book is, mm-hmm. really just a conversation starter. You know, if somebody goes to see Star Wars this December or mm-hmm. goes to see the Justice League in November mm-hmm. or is watching The X-Files in January, mm-hmm. I mean, these are things that are coming up.
Yeah, so, very much so.
What a perfect moment to transition to, well, here, I've given you a saint that you can start the conversation with. Mm-hmm. Bring in your other saints. You know, I've been corresponding with a teacher in Oklahoma who's mm-hmm. using the book in a project with his students mm. and you know, there was that womp womp moment of it's only women in the book, and I'm like, well, sure, but the conversation can be about men.
Yeah,
who's your hero?
Exactly.
Why, what virtue does he exemplify? Well, what saint has that same virtue?
Yep.
On steroids, because he has grace.
Yes.
And and it's just a great way to talk about things in the culture.
Yep, just a really great conversation starter, especially like if women have, or parents or like teachers have people or young adults that they're having, that they're, you know, oh, like a family's having a movie night. What a beautiful way to kickstart a conversation after that by pulling this out and having a conversation and saying, all right, like looking back on this movie, what virtues were exemplified? What, like, here's the life of a saint that's beautiful that you'll like the encounter after having seen Star Wars or X-Files or any of those really great films too, for sure. Which is neat.
Mm-hmm.
I loved how your book makes both heroism and sainthood seem achievable, because we're all called to sainthood. So after writing two books on the saints, do you have any advice for especially women today who are striving towards sainthood in a culture that couldn't disagree more with the truth, and how to live out that, not only to look for heroes and heroines in their lives, but also to live that virtue, life of virtue themselves? Do you have any tips and hints for that?
Well, first off, stay close to the sacraments,
mm-hmm.
you know, go to reconciliation. You know, I always thought, well, I got to go to confession
yep.
at least once a year. Oh, it's so hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've been in that boat too. You're not the only one.
But you know, once you start going on the regular, if you will,
yes.
it becomes easier. And of course, frequent reception of communion, go to mass, mm-hmm. you know, stay close to the sacraments, and then build some spiritual friendships, mm-hmm. because the saints really are our friends. And if you think about that, you know, they're praying for us in heaven, right?
Yep.
And we're here on earth praying for each other, and we're just small s saints,
mm-hmm.
right? You and
mm-hmm.
I.
Yep.
That we can pray for each other. But really just building the spiritual friendships,
mm-hmm.
just like with the saints. If you look at the saints, they had spiritual friendships.
Yes.
I mean, I talk about Claire in the book and her friendship with St. Francis.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You know, something that's always held up as a beautiful spiritual friendship. So that's where what we can learn. And what's beautiful about finding people, and I'm not saying that you should only have friends who are Catholic. Mm-hmm. That's kind of ridiculous.
Yep.
But that do find friends who are Catholic, who are on the journey with you, that you can share with and pray with
mm-hmm.
and for,
mm-hmm.
I think is one of the greatest sources of our strength, because that's And that's part of the communion of saints.
Yeah. Yep. Building that community. Yeah. Not only with heavenly friends, but with that community here on earth. And then ultimately with the goal of being able to celebrate Christ up in heaven all together in one big party.
One big party. Yes. Absolutely.
Looking forward to that one for sure. In Supergirls and Halos, you talk specifically about the unique ways that women are equipped to become heroines because of the feminine genius. And St. Pope John Paul II is one of my all-time favorites. When you were writing this book, where did you see the feminine genius and heroines that you talk about in the book? Like Storm, Wonder Woman is a big one. Or like the different heroines that you have spoken about. How did you see the feminine genius working through their lives?
Well, again, I'm going to reference Pat Gone and her first book, which I think is a must read for mm-hmm. young women everywhere. It's called Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious.
Yes.
And that's a great title, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she identifies in that, you know, she's a big fangirl of St. John Paul II.
Yeah.
So she identified for me those four areas, or for her readers, the feminine genius identified as receptivity mm-hmm. and generosity mm-hmm. and spiritual motherhood and sensitivity. And so these four characteristics are, I think, obviously evident in all women, but I kind of focus on them indirectly, mm-hmm. you know, a little implicitly in
yes.
who these characters are. And so easy to see that these women all exhibited at least one of those qualities
yeah.
in a very strong way, and that was really her heroic virtue in that particular the heroines. That was her heroic virtue, and that's what really helped me to identify what the cardinal virtue was
yeah.
that I wanted to focus on. So it's kind of an indirect way to get to it, but really that was my process. So if you think about it, Wonder Woman had maternity.
Mm-hmm.
She was a spiritual mother.
Yep.
She took care of Steve Trevor and nursed him.
Yep.
And when she went out, and particularly in the movie, because if you look at the comic book over time,
mm-hmm.
I tell you in the book that I really had a problem with her character development
yep.
early on and at various points in the comic book history. But if, you know, what the women are seeing today, or and especially what the young girls are seeing today, is the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great scene in the movie where she refuses to leave a mother and child
yep.
behind to suffer.
Yeah.
And it is really the pivotal moment of her physical and over the top and, you know, big explosion
mm-hmm.
kind of heroism in the movie. I don't want to give too much away because, you know, the movie is still, you know, fairly recently out
yep.
that I give it away spoilers, but it was a pivotal moment. And that was an element of spiritual motherhood for her
yep.
to be caring.
Yep. That's so true. We, Joseph and I, my husband, we went to see that movie at a drive-in theater here in Kansas City over the summer. And the whole thing, like there was, I mean, granted, there's some parts you're like, oh gosh, dang it. Like, in terms of how the movie developed, but there were so many beautiful points, and I won't give away anything either, but where it was just like, oh, that's femininity. So beautifully displayed.
Yeah.
And it's not
yeah.
weakness. And it's just so beautiful. And they did such a stellar job with that. So, we'll wrap it up with this question. As a woman who's learned so much about the saints and who's continuing to learn about the saints, how has the knowledge that you've gained about their saints and their path to holiness helped you live out the feminine genius in just your ordinary daily life?
Wow. It's just every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. You know, when you think about when you know, my work is very solitary.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's in an office, usually with a closed door,
mm-hmm.
and I'm by myself all day long
mm-hmm.
doing this work. And I feel like, oh, this is for my audience. This is for my reader.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, really, it's for me.
Yep.
Every chapter here spoke to me, and every chapter in this book and the last book, and really every little piece of anything that I write, kind of jolts me into an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Flannery O'Connor very famously said that she had to write to know what she thought.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what this exercise has been for me. It certainly has introduced me to new saints, mm-hmm. And reintroduced old saints in a new light for me. Mm-hmm. And so what I now have is I'm walking around with, 22 new best friends that are in my life.
That's
and
beautiful.
My husband laughs sometimes because I find myself sometimes talking out loud. I didn't realize I said something out loud and I was actually talking to a saint.
Oh, that's so neat though.
You know, because I'll see something, because, you know, my mind is churning. What
yeah,
am I going to do next?
Exactly.
Next? And so I'm, every time I encounter a new saint, I'm like, oh yeah, really? This? So that's, yes, maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
Nope, you're not at all.
They're all around me.
It's so true.
And they're all around you.
Yep. And those listening, gosh, they love on us so well. Like, oh man, the communion of saints is so beautiful. Well, thank you so much for all the work that you've done. I'll put both of your books, both My Badass Book of Saints and Supergirls and Halos, in the show notes for today's episode, so readers can find, or listeners can find them to become readers. And thank you for your work. And thanks for introducing me to new saints and helping me see them in a new light as well.
Oh gosh, you're welcome. It's such a joy.
Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for listening to the show. You can find all the links to Maria's website and Amazon links to her books that she's written and that we chatted and visited about in the show notes on my website, which is www.oldfashionedgirlblog.com. If you have a couple of spare minutes, please rate and review the podcast on iTunes so other listeners can find it easier. And if you'd like to see more episodes of Letters to Women, you can support the show on Patreon by going to www.patreon.com/letterstowomen. That's all I have for today, so until next time, be not afraid.